So good to see everyone. May God's peace be with you. And since I wasn't here last Sunday, let me say Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. Yes, I believe we need to celebrate Easter every Sunday. Amen? Because the Easter message, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it makes a big difference. It changes the way we live. And today I picked a passage, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11, a resurrection passage to remind us the power of the resurrection in our lives. So Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Okay, let me read to you. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin, but how can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I entitled today's message, Alive with Christ. What does it mean to be alive with Jesus Christ? What does the resurrection has anything to do with the way we live our lives? So the first point is this. Baptism symbolizes our union with Christ. Now, did you notice that when Paul talks about the resurrection, he brings up the subject, the topic of baptism? Why? What does baptism have to do with resurrection? Why does it have to do with anything in our lives? See, baptism symbolizes our union with Christ. The act of baptism symbolizes dying, right? You go into the water, dying, burial, watery grave. When we come out of water, it represents our resurrection with Jesus Christ. Look at this passage, verses 3 to 4. Paul says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Why did Jesus command his disciples to get baptized? Because it's through baptism we identify ourselves with him. When a person gets baptized in the name of Jesus, he is saying to the world, hey, I am a believer of Jesus Christ. I identify myself with Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died and he rose again. I identify myself with him. So that's why we say baptism is the outward expression of our inner faith. Our expression of our inner faith. Just like getting married. Wedding ceremony. Why is it so important? Why do couples, they think about that day and they say, oh, that's got to be the happiest day of our lives. What's the big deal with wedding ceremony? Because it's on that day, this couple, they proclaim their love and commitment to each other. That's why it's so important. Why is this ring so important? Why do we wear rings? Why is it so important? It's, you know, it's just a piece of metal, right? I mean, and it doesn't worth a lot. What's the big deal? Because this ring signifies that I'm no longer available. Sorry, ladies. I'm no longer available, and I'm taken, and that I am committed to someone, right? So that's the significance. Baptism, same thing. Our expression of our inner faith. We're saying, I belong to Jesus. I'm going to be baptized because I believe in Jesus. He died. He rose again. I have nothing to be ashamed of. Look at this passage, Mark 8:38. If a person is ashamed of me, this is Jesus speaking, and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when I return in the glory of my Father with the holy angels. I believe an unwillingness to get baptized is not a baptism issue, but an unwillingness to get baptized is a faith issue. Why? Because baptism is an outward expression of our inner faith. And that's why all over the Bible you see genuine believers of Jesus Christ. As soon as they heard the gospel, as soon as they were converted to Christianity, it says immediately they decided that they want to get baptized. Look at this biblical pattern here. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Peter preached his first message on Pentecost, and he says, repent, repent and be baptized. He says, those who accepted his message were baptized. 3,000 of them added to their number that day. Acts chapter 16, verse 30 to 33. This is the story of the Philippian jailer. So he brought Peter and Silas out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. It says, then immediately he and all his family were baptized. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And this man who had just received the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, hey, look, water, what prevents me from getting baptized? And look at what they did after that. It says, so he waited 2 or 3 years until he felt like he was ready to get. No. It says immediately they went into the water and Philip baptized him right there. Some people say, well, I believe in Jesus. I do. I go to church and I read the Bible and I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. I am a believer. I believe, right? Believe it or not, I believe. But you know, there's just so much. There's just so much I don't know about Jesus and so much I don't know about the Bible. Therefore, I am not ready to get baptized. Well, look at what Jesus has to say about that. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. God's command for disciple making. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. The order of disciple making is first baptize them so that they would belong to Jesus Christ first, and then we start to teach them everything about the Bible. Baptism is just the beginning, the first step of our Christian life. So today, if there's anybody here that you know you are a believer, but for some reason, one reason for another, you have not been baptized, I'm going to ask you this question. What's stopping you from getting baptized? Right? What prevents you from getting baptized? I'm not asking anybody to get baptized, but I'm simply asking the believers in Jesus Christ to take a stand, to step up and to identify yourselves with Jesus Christ through baptism. So that is the significance of baptism. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin in our lives. Let's look at this passage, verses 6 to 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. See, right here, Paul is hammering on the topic of sin. He's talking to those of us believers who, on the one hand, have already received Jesus and accepted his saving grace. But on the one hand, those of us who continue to live in sin. And Paul says, how can you do that? How can you say you are a believer, but you continue to live in sin? Paul says, no. when we believe in Jesus, our old self died with Jesus, has been crucified with him. We're no longer slaves to sin. Sin is no longer our master. And so I was thinking, what are some of the things in our lives that still have control over us, that should be our old masters, but we continue to let them control? What are some possible masters in our lives? So I thought, okay, maybe the letter P. What are some possible masters that start with the letter P? Look at this. P. How about peers, right? Peers. Ooh, that could be a powerful master. The many, many things that we do in our lives just so that we can look good to our peers, so that we can fit in. Peer pressure. How about the second P? I start thinking, what's another P? How about people pleasing? Yeah? People pleasing. How many of us, if we want to be honest, our lives are driven by the tendency to please people, right? To gain the approval of others. People pleasing is such a powerful force in our lives. How about this next thing? Pleasure, right? Pleasure. How often we live our lives, right, in the gray areas. You know what I'm talking about? The gray areas. Simply because we want to have some fun here and there. Or watch some TV shows that are, you know, compromising to our standards. But in the name of fun and have a good time, we sacrifice our testimony. Pleasure. Next P. Pornography. How many people, their lives are dominated by pornography? It's such a powerful, it could be a powerful master in our lives. And then the last P, pride. Right, pride? The overwhelming desire for us to elevate ourselves instead of humbling ourselves. Pride. You know what? We could say no to these things. God says, these are your old masters. You don't have to say yes to these masters anymore. J. Vernon McGee told a story of a plantation owner in the South. He and his wife, they lived in a lovely, lovely home. And then one day he became sick, and then all of a sudden he passed away. Well, it was a great heartbreak for the wife, for she loved him dearly. And so she did a strange and morbid thing. She had his body embalmed and placed in a sitting position in a chair. Can you believe that? In an airtight glass case, and situated him at the end of the great hallway, so that whenever you would open the door, you would enter into this big, beautiful home. There he is, staring at you. And so her friends realized, boy, she needs some help. So they encouraged him. You know, this is probably not the healthiest thing for you. They encouraged her to go and to just go travel, you know, and just think about something else. And that's what she did. She went north. She traveled abroad for almost 2 years. And during that 2 years, she met a nice gentleman. And they fell in love and they got married. Well, one day on their honeymoon, they came back to her plantation home. And as soon as they enter into the house, they open the door. And there he was, staring at them. And that new husband said to his bride, "What is that? What is that?" And then she went on to explain to him, "Oh, that's her first husband." And so they decided, well, it was about time that they did the proper thing, which was to bury the dead guy. Now you say, I know what you're thinking. You say, oh, give me a break. I know not, no, that's not, that cannot be a true story. That just cannot be
a true story? Or can it? Can it be a true story in our lives? Where we should have buried our old master, but no. We still continue to surrender and to submit to our old master and allow him, our old master, to run, to dictate our lives. And God says, no. You are dead to sin. Your master has no power over you. God wants us to know that when we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, when he died for our sins, he resurrected from the dead, right? He says, you are free. You are set free. You don't have to live in that old ways of life. Today, you can be set free. Which leads us to the most important thing, the most exciting thing, number three. The resurrection of Jesus Christ brings us new life. It brings us new life. It changes us. It has the power to change us. Verse 4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, I just love today's passage because it is such a powerful passage telling us to not just identify ourselves with the death of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we do all the time? We identify ourselves with the cross. Isn't that true? With the cross, meaning the death of Christ, meaning the forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my sin. That's true. That is true. But Paul says, don't just identify yourself with the cross, with the death of Jesus Christ, but more than that, identify yourself with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he has come back to life, where he gives us the power to live a new life. That is the promise, the power of resurrection. As Christians, believers of Jesus Christ, who believe in Jesus, we have that powerful, most powerful power in our lives. Look at this passage, Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at the right hand of God. See, we believers of Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, when we believe that he rose again, we have the greatest power, the most powerful thing that's happened in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to transform us, to change us, to give us a new start. And I believe we love new starts. That's why New Year's so important, so big. Why? Because it's another chance, another opportunity to have a new start. That's why when we play video games and we messed up, what do? Press the start button. Restart, right? Let's try it again. Who cares? Try again. New game. New life, right? We love new starts. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ says, you can have a new start. You can live a different life. Your old self is gone. But I'm going to give you, transform you, give you a new life. And all over the Bible, God promised those of us who are in Jesus Christ a new life. Look at this. Ezekiel 36, he says, a new heart. God gives us a new heart. And then a new spirit. And then a new name. And then a new song in our heart. And then he says, you are a new creation. And then new creature, a new man, a new woman. See, that's the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's great power changes us, gives us the ability to live that new life, resurrection life, victorious life. And today, as we close today's message, I want to end with a story, okay? Another story, but this time, it's a true story, okay? Listen to this story. Back in 1948, a man was traveling alone on a passenger train bounded for New Orleans. And so when the train suddenly encountered this thunder storm and severe thunderstorm, and the bolt of lightning came through the window and struck this man down. Well, even though he was burnt severely, he survived. Miraculously, he survived. So when the people around him trying to help him and trying to ask him questions, what his name was and where he was going, all of a sudden, he didn't remember. He could not answer because the lightning has caused him to lose all his memory. So he reached for his pocket, for his wallet, only to find that he had none. And he had no luggage. He had no identification. He did not know who he was and where he was going. So finally, when they landed in New Orleans, he was admitted to a small local hospital, which was ran by a pastor of a small Baptist church nearby. The pastor helped him, took care of him until he was healed of his burns. So he started going to that church, and he got baptized, and he started getting to know the pastor and pastor's family. And since they could not locate his past, and they could not track anything down in his identity, he was forced to start his life all over again. So when it came time to choose for him a new name, he assumed the pastor's last name, Steinhardt, and he picked Robert as his first name. So that's his name, Robert Steinhardt. So Robert was soon baptized, you know, joined the church and was discipled by the pastor and began to serve the church and the community. Over time, he met a local girl. They got married and they started a family. After the birth of their second child, he felt the call of God to go into ministry, and he himself became a pastor. Well, one evening in October 1963, so this is 15 years after that train accident, Robert came home from work only to find two out-of-state police cars parked in his front yard. And it was right there he was arrested for the murder of two people during a bank robbery in 1948. He was confronted with the fact that he had jumped on the train in his attempt to escape after the robbery, which he had no recollection of. Well, the news of Robert, now a pillar in the community, and his arrest spread throughout the community, and the townspeople came out to testify on behalf of Robert and to pray for him. So during the trial, the townspeople, they supported him, they rallied after him, and when it came time for Robert to hear his verdict, he stood. This is what they said. We, the jury, find the defendant, Stanley Reed Calhoun, which was his real name, innocent of the charge of two accounts of murder by reason of his demise. We have concluded by weighing of much testimony that this is not the same individual that gunned down two innocent victims. As far as the jury is concerned, Stanley Reed Calhoun died on the train 15 years ago. And this man, Robert Steinhardt, is indeed a new man and therefore innocent of all charges. A new man, innocent of all charges, my friends. That's what God can do in us. That's what God sees in us. God, in his mercy, in his grace, chooses to set us free so that we are new man, new woman. Even though our old man was offensive to God, even our sinful nature deserves much punishment, but Jesus died on the cross to forgive us our sins. But not only that, he resurrected from the dead so that we can live a new life. He gives us new purpose, new meaning in life. And that's what it means for us to be alive with Christ. So my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this, you know, Jesus' resurrection, don't go back to that old life. Don't keep on sinning. Don't dwell in your past. But claim the power, the promise of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and live the new life, the victorious life, the transformed life that God has intended for all of us, believers in Jesus Christ, to live. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus loving us, dying on the cross for us. But Lord, he did not do just that. He rose from the grave and now is seated at the right hand of your right hand. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would come into our lives. Lord, you know that we sin. You know that we struggle with our old master. But Lord Jesus, we want to claim your promise and your power to live a new life, changed life, transformed life. Help us to do that. Would you help us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing this song as a response to God's message. And let's say to him, yes, we want to live our lives to honor you.